next session. Once again, I thank everyone for joining this morning on this auspicious day of Mohini Ekadashi. Happy Ekadashi to everyone. Bhakti Sangha, and let's move to our next session, which is Srimad Bhagavatam class. And before we move to our next session, I would request Raj Prabhuji to introduce His Grace Shukumar Gaur Prabhuji this morning. Raj Prabhuji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dandavat Pranam to you and all the assembled devotees, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Guru and Gauranga. Happy Ekadashi to you, Mataji, and all of the devotees. It is a Monday today too. Har Har Mahadev, Hare Krishna. So here is a brief introduction for our very dear speaker today, His Grace Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji. Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji came in touch with devotees of ISKCON in 2003. Prabhuji found all his questions answered in the book of Srila Prabhupada. As a student of MBA Finance, he studied Srila Prabhupada books and became a sincere practitioner. He took up a job with NCDE, Mumbai, but soon took on a two-year Brahmachari training course at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, Mumbai, and was initiated into the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in 2010. Prabhuji served in the youth preaching department, but he found his true joy in sharing Krishna consciousness with the youth by helping them understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. He joined ISKCON Chowpatty as a resident in 2009. Later, he was posted to ISKCON Nasik Temple, where he is serving as a youth counselor to various colleges in the area of Nasik. Prabhuji conducts seminars on personality development in educational and corporate sectors. And we are very fortunate to have him on the call today. Over to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Raj Prabhu, for that wonderful introduction. Let me see if Prabhuji has joined. Yes, I do see. Hare Krishna, Shukumar Gaur Prabhuji, Dandavat to you. Please accept my humble obeisances, Prabhuji. And I would welcome everybody once again to this conference call.
Should we start, Mataji?
Yes, and Prabhuji will be enlightening us for Canto 6, Chapter 14, and Verse 1. Over to you, Prabhuji. Take over with the call. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam today. We'll start with the Mangala Charan prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadanti Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahara Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditam Shri Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Natanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshattare Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna. Just a moment, Mataji. Yeah, sorry. I had an emergency call. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14th and Shloka number 1. This is a new chapter. So here we have the Shloka before us. Shri Parikshit Uvacha Rajastama Swabhavasya Brahmana Vritrasya Papmana Narayane Bhagavati Katham Asad Dridhamati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami, O learned Brahmana, demons are generally sinful, being obsessed with mode of passion and ignorance. How then could Vritrasura have attained such exalted love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this material world, everyone is obsessed with the modes of passion and ignorance. However, unless one conquers this modes and comes to the platform of goodness, there is no chance of one's becoming a pure devotee. This is confirmed by Lord Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita 7:28. Yesham tvantagata papam jananam punyakarmanam yedvandva moha nirmukta bhajante maam tridavrata. Person who have acted piously in previous life and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Since Vritrasura was among the demons, Maharaj Parikshit wondered how it was possible for him to have become such a exalted devotee. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, we are starting a new chapter here today, and a very beautiful chapter which we'll be dealing now onward. This is King Chitraketu's Lamentation and an excellent purport by Srila Prabhupada. And we will be dealing with some basic points from Srila Prabhupada's purport again. So, here it is said Parikshit Uvacha. Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami. Rajastama Swabhavasya. A person whose nature has been influenced by mode of passion and ignorance, Brahman, O learned Brahmana. And who is this person? Vritrasya. Okay, so what is the effect of this Raja and Tama? Papmanaha. He was supposedly sinful. Now, Prabhupada is not writing Vritrasura as sinful. Supposedly means Prabhupada is now entering into the inner core of Vritrasura's heart. So Prabhupada knows what is there in his heart, just like Shukadeva Goswami. Prabhupada is exactly representing what is going on in the mind of Shukadeva Goswami. So Prabhupada's words are not sinful. Who was sinful? No, Prabhupada is saying supposedly sinful. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying that, or Parikshit Maharaj is also saying the same thing, that he is supposedly sinful. He is not really sinful. But externally seeming this person is sinful, Narayane Bhagavati, and externally he is sinful, but internally Narayane Bhagavati Katham Asit Dridamati. How is it possible for such a sinful person to have Dridamati, or very deeply rooted consciousness in Narayana Bhagavati, Supreme Lord Shri Narayana? How is this contradiction possible? So here King Parikshit is inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami, O learned Brahmana. Demons are generally seen that they are sinful and obsessed with various materialistic desires. But here I see that Vritrasura has attained Dridamati, a very strong consciousness, fixed up consciousness in the Supreme Lord Sri Narayana. So, actually, Dridamati, Prabhupada in word to word is translating as very strong consciousness or deeply rooted consciousness. But if you see the translation of the verse that Prabhupada is giving, Prabhupada has written, Vritrasura had attained such exalted love. Now, there is something where a person is strongly fixed in Krishna consciousness. But here Prabhupada is directly converting that same thing into attained such exalted love. Means he is on the stage of which? He is on the stage of prema. But here externally the point that is given in word to word translation is his consciousness was firmly fixed. Now, firmly fixed doesn't mean just like we see in case of Bharat Maharaj. It was also deeply firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. But he hadn't attained that exalted love. Okay. So here in Vritrasura, externally seeming he is a demon, is full of rajo and tamo, but on the contrary, very strong fixed consciousness in Krishna, in the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada is directly translating this as attained such exalted love for Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Narayan. Now, just like we saw Dridamati, very strong consciousness, Prabhupada translates that as exalted love for the Supreme Lord, Shri Narayan. So here, Shri Parikshit Maharaj is pointing at the contradiction which was seen in last three chapters. And which is very rarely seen. This is a very rare contradiction. Rajatama Swabhava, and in that Papmana, and in that the person is also showing something which is not at all seen in this kind of people, that is Narayana Dridamati. So these two qualities, they are not at all seen to go hand in hand at any given point of time. So Parikshit Maharaj is hearing about two people from the last three, four chapters, that is Indra and Vritrasu. Now, both of them are exactly contradictory. One is a demon, one is a demigod. Okay, and you know, a demon means a person who is having too much of impurity in his mind, because the shloka says the mind means being disturbed when things are not, and there is huge amount of dissatisfaction in the mind. So this is the impurity that mode of passion and ignorance injects in any sadhaka or any living entity. Now, the point that Parikshit Maharaj wants to highlight is what was supposed to be seen in Indra is seen in Rudrasura. How? Because Prabhupada explains the same point by quoting 7.28, that there is a prerequisite for developed feelings for Krishna. Okay, there is a prerequisite, then we can come to that evolved emotion for Lord Krishna. So that Dridamati, that Drida Bhajan, that determined Bhajan, requires some criteria to be fulfilled, and then we can have such strong emotions which Vritrasura has for Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes this very beautiful shloka, which is very usually Prabhupada quotes this, Yesham tu antagata papam. Now there are three criteria, and the result of this three criteria being fulfilled will be the fourth line that is mentioned in the shloka. Bhajante, that means the bhajan, mam, in Krishna becomes dridavrata, firm, determined, strong. When will this happen? Yasham tu antagata papam. Past sinful actions are eradicated. Okay. Second, jananam punya karmana. Past life was fully pure. Then, te dvandva moha nir. Already free from illusion and duality. When these three things happen, then a person can be firmly dedicated to the path of bhajan. Without these three criteria, the dedicated bhajan process will not take place. Okay. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his Bhagavad Gita commentary, he gives the flow of the shloka. Now, he titles this shloka as who is qualified for bhakti. Okay. Now, he is taking the three criteria. First, punya karma. Second, sins are partially destroyed. It doesn't necessitate complete destruction of the sinful reaction. Third, there is predominance of sattvaguna. So, rajo and tama are not completely eradicated. They are reduced. These three criteria are required. Okay, now what will be the effect of these three criteria? The effect first will be there will be decreased in illusion or the moha aspect. Second, the person becomes less and less and less, gradually becomes less and less attached to material objects and the enjoyment that comes through the objects. Third, he desires association of devotees, and in the association of devotees, he starts practicing the bhakti process. Okay. And that is how he gets free from sins and free from illusion. And when this process starts picking pace, then that sadhaka will become steady or dridavrata in bhajan. Bhajan means worshipping of Lord Krishna. So this is how Prabhupada explains it. Now, the most confusing part in Vritrasura is that his body is that of a demon, but demon means rajo and tamogun, highly prominent. But he is still unaffected by the surrounding. So demon having such steadiness, remaining unaffected, is very unnatural. Why so? Because it is generally seen that the jiva gets his body as per his previous svabhava. Just like we took this example last time, Daksha getting the goat's body because his consciousness was insensitive talk. He's constantly speaking something wrong. Nausha Maharaj gets the body of snake because his previous life consciousness was quick. And that is how a snake walks or moves. Bharat Maharaj thinking of deer gets body of a deer. Indra becoming pig. We have heard this story so many times from Srila Prabhupada. Kubera's sons becoming tree because their behavior was insensitive. So looking at the body, we can find out the past nature of that person. As that same nature will continue in the present body also. So that is why he has got this body. So same principle was applied by Indra to Vritrasura. He thought that he must have been a demon in the past life also, or some demoniac qualities must have been in his previous past, and that is why he is a Rakshasa now. But in case of Vritrasura, while dealing with him, Indra was amazed to find out that even though he has body of Rakshasa, but his mindset is not that of Rakshasa. It is that of a pure devotee, that of a Jivan Mukta. So Indra was so amazed to see the contradiction in Vritrasura. But in the previous, when the previous chapter ends, he finds out that yes, he is a pure devotee, he is completely absorbed in Lord Krishna and his pastimes, or his mati is drida in Krishna Bhakti. But Indra doesn't speak about this to anybody. Neither does he ask Vritrasura, how did you become like this? Just like we see in the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj's friends are asking. Even Hiranyakashipu was asking, where did you get all this from? Okay. But here Indra is not asking Vritrasura, how is this thing happening in you? So Indra thought it's okay. Maybe we have certain exceptions like Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj. They are also from the Daitya community, demon community. But they still had Drida Bhakti for Lord Krishna. So Indra stopped thinking and he felt that here is one more exception like Bali and Prahlad. So he didn't try to investigate. But look at the mindset of Parikshit Maharaj. He takes that task of investigation on his own. He thinks that this is my onus. I should investigate in this case. Indra forgot, or he didn't feel it important, but I am very curious about this extraordinary case called Vritrasura. He knew it was a very rare case because not a demon, he's a Rakshasa. Rakshasa showing such determined efforts to remain Krishna conscious all the while is very, 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 very rare. So he knew it is a very rare case, but being a rare case, he wanted to find out what was the history of this case which led to this event. So he wants to know the history of Vritrasura, and hence is speaking the shloka. So what is there in the mind of Parikshit Maharaj when he is meeting Vritrasura? He wants to know the history, and that is why Yasham Tvantagata Papam, Prabhupada in that shloka is speaking about the past. Past life. What? Why past life is coming? Because it is connected here. Because even Parikshit Maharaj wants to know the past life of Vritrasura. And that is why Prabhupada. See, Prabhupada, everything that Prabhupada has quoted is in line with the mood of the Acharyas or what Shukdev Goswami has to speak. So Parikshit Maharaj wants to know the history, and that is why Prabhupada is saying, Yesham tu antagata, his past life is very clear. Okay. So Vritrasura's history Parikshit Maharaj has the desire to know, and that is the Prabhupada is quoting 7.28. Okay. Now Parikshit Maharaj, from the start, he has been showing his concern for others. If you read this first shloka of the 6th canto, in the 6th canto, at the start of the 6th canto, first shloka, he is showing his more concern not about his own self but about other people. Just like here, he is more concerned about the sages who had questions regarding the behavior of Vritrasura and his connection with the past. So he will now pick up the question from their mind and present to Shukdev Goswami as if it is own. So here he is asking Shukdev Goswami about Vritrasura's past life. And same thing we see in 6th canto starting Ajamil Upakhyan. He sets the mood of the entire 6th canto. 5th canto is over, description of hellish plan is it over. He feels more concerned about the jivas who are stuck there in the hellish life. It is out of that compassion he is asking his own spiritual master, but he has to make sure about certain things. Look at the clarity which Parikshit Maharaj had. Now, before asking his guru, he is trying to enthuse his guru. Now, how he is enthusing his guru? He first makes very clear to his spiritual master that what you are speaking, I am absolutely catching it right. You may check it. Now, then he starts showing, he reveals his understanding of the previously explained all the 5 cantos. Okay. He reveals the complete understanding, just like in 6, in the first shloka, he speaks about the Nivritti Marga. Second shloka, he speaks about the Pravritti Marga. Third, he will speak about the hellish life and impious activities. Fourth, he will speak about the fourth canto, you have spoken about the Swayambhu Manu's lineage. And in the 5th canto, you explain the cosmology, right? This is how he explains the entire connection. And he tells his Guru Maharaj that you can check and correct me if I am wrong. Now, Shukadev Goswami is also very clear. He also checks the understanding of Parikshit Maharaj. And he has done this n number of times. He is continuously on watch on what his disciple is understanding. Is it right or is it wrong? Yeah, just like you can see this even in 10th canto. Now, 10th canto is the Samambunam. Means that is the thing which every sadhaka wants to enter. Even at the start of 10th canto, Shukadev Goswami starts speaking Krishna Katha only and only when he is very clear, when Parikshit explains the purpose of the Supreme Lord's taking incarnation. The internal reason and the external reason of the Lord's appearance are told. That is where Shukadev Goswami becomes very satisfied and is confirmed. Yes, my disciple has got all things right, and then he starts the Krishna Leela. So after perfect recap, the spiritual master is happy. So now he asks him, the spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami, he is asking Parikshit Maharaj in 616. He is saying, Aduna Iha Mahabhaga. Iha, in this world, Aduna, recently, Yathaiva Narakanara, Nana Ugra Yatana Naiya. The Jiva, it is not necessary for him to go through Nana Ugra Yatana, various sinful reactions. Tanme Vyakhyatu Marhasi. Now, kindly tell me how they can be saved from entering these hellish conditions of life so that they don't have to go through this Ugra Yatra, terrible pains. Now, this has been the nature of Parikshit Maharaj, always thinking about others. And when he is hearing about the hellish conditions, he is not thinking, they have committed some wrong activities and that is why they are there for punishment. He himself is a king, okay? And king knows what it means to punish somebody and under what circumstances the punishment is given. He is very well aware. But still he is not judging any of the persons in the hellish planets. Okay, he hasn't judged. So he is not saying they are sinful, so let them suffer. Only 3 days, 4 days are remaining. I have to complete hearing Bhagavad. No, his focus is save the jivas from this terrible hellish pain. Why? Because he has that clarity that all the jivas belong to Lord Krishna. So it is by nature they have to be happy. Why are they suffering like this? For this, to stop their suffering, they must know how to feed themselves for all time from the clutches of Maya, the three modes of material nature. So Parikshit Maharaj, in great humility, at the onset of the sixth canto, first chapter, is reminding with great humility to his spiritual master, please speak about the Nivritti Marg. And on that, Shukadev Goswami says, I have already spoken in Canto 2. Why you want to hear it again? Parikshit Maharaj says, yes, you spoke about Nivritti Marg, but you spoke in terms of Gyan Marg. You gave that knowledge to those who are desiring the Gyan Marg, okay? And those who want to move ahead. Now, Shukadev Goswami, so what to do? So he says, speak about all the processes and establish the glory of bhakti to Lord Shri Krishna. Shukadev Goswami, yes, very good. And then he gives the various karma kand, karma yoga, jnana yoga. And then he comes to bhakti, establishing bhakti as the topmost. So Parikshit Maharaj was thinking that one reason of these people who are struggling in hell is because they don't have a perfect spiritual master like Shukadev Goswami, which I have. And that is why his questions are of the mindset that, okay, they are already suffering, but I don't want the future generations to suffer like them. And that is where the picture, the clarity of the entire spiritual domain comes. And that is why he's again and again requesting his spiritual master to focus on the conclusive part, focus on the conclusive part, so that the future generation should not suffer. But at the same time, he's also very cautious about his own needs. Now, see, most of the time what happens in devotee circle is we preach and we are behind increasing the number of the devotees and we want the preaching mission to expand. That's very good. But most of the time we forget that we have ourselves to be very well nourished also. And we can see this here in Parikshit Maharaj. He's very cautious about his own needs. And his need is to hear about Shri Krishna. Like when Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj is so well tuned with Shukadev Goswami. He knows the spiritual master very well. He knows that from Canto 1 to canto 10 or 11th or 12th, he will speak with the same enthusiasm, because Bhagavat means Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami has no doubt about it. And he is seeing Krishna from canto 1 to canto 12. He is seeing every shloka Krishna, Krishna, Radha, Krishna, Radha. So, just like in the 10th canto, first chapter, shloka 1 and 2, he is saying same thing again and again. Two shloka is repeating the same thing. He is saying in the first shloka, you described the Soma and the Surya Vamsha, and you also have described the Yadu Vamsha. And again, second shloka is saying Yadu Vamsha. He's saying, you have also described the Yadu Vamsha. But Yadu Vamsha is already part of Soma Vamsha. So, why two times you are saying the same thing? In the second shloka, I say, now you can please speak about Krishna Leela, Krishna Charitra. Now, why one point twice? Because he knew that his spiritual master was so enthusiastic till that point, till the 10th canto point, that if he could have by mistake glorified the other Vamsha, the Surya and the Chandra Vamsha, his spiritual master would have described that even in great detail. And he had already heard about the Surya and the Chandra Vamsha. So when his spiritual master would have spoken the Katha, it would have been disrespect to that part of Harikatha. See, not hearing with attention is also disrespect. Just like inattentive chanting is disrespect to Holy Name, inattention is disrespect to Harikatha. So that Katha will not manifest in our hearts. That is why in the Shastra that is said, when the speaker sits on the Vyasasana, we have to pray to the speaker that please what you are going to speak, let it manifest in my heart. Let it manifest in my heart so that I can relish that Krishna Katha. So here Parikshit Maharaj is so conscious that he is feeling that I'll respect that Katha of the Supreme Lord. So he sends that message by repeating it twice. Please, now I am very eager to hear about Lord Krishna. So please, you start speaking about Lord Krishna. So he's concerned about his own needs also. And this is the best part of both of them. They are taking care of each other so well. And in that, in taking care of each other so well, the entire creation is now getting benefited. This is how devotee community has to be. Spiritual master taking care of the disciple, disciple taking care of the spiritual master, devotees taking care of each other in the community, and just seeing that community, the community starts flourishing. You don't have to do anything extra. The world needs example where people are happy with each other. And this is the best example where the guru and disciple are so in line with each other that they are not thinking of anything else. There is only one agenda, how to save the living entities by giving Bhagavatam in the best possible way. So there is question, answer, analogy, everything is there. So both of them are initiated in vows of saving Jiva. They want to give the Jivas the most easy, the most powerful method to get free from Sattva, Raja and Tama. Both carry the same mood as that of Lord Krishna. Just like there is one beautiful shloka that comes as Mangalacharan to Srimad Bhagavat, where Lord Krishna is glorified as the object of Srimad Bhagavat. So the Kathakar, he is saying, Shrisham Vande Bhakta Kalyana Diksham. He is saying, Shrisham means the Supreme Lord, the husband of Shri, Srimati Radharani. How is he initiated? He is initiated in Bhakta Kalyana Diksham. He has taken Diksha to do Kalyana of all the devotees. Newcomer, oldcomer, everybody. He has taken Diksha. Diksha means it is his firm vow that I have nothing else on my mind. It is only Bhakta Kalyana. And who is that Supreme Lord? Laksham Veda. He is the goal of the Veda. Daksha, Maam, Atmiya Kritye. He is very Daksha. He is very cautious about the needs of his devotee. Vaksham Padma. The Supreme Goddess of Fortune is sitting on his vaksha, on his chest. Shikshakam Dushta Jate. He is the teacher of all the offenders. Moksha Sthanam. He is that what is to be achieved through moksha. Rakshakam Swabha Swa Angri Bhajanam. And he is saying he is the Rakshaka of the devotees who have taken shelter of his lotus feet. So just like the Supreme Lord has taken Diksha in Bhakta Kalyan, so both the Guru and disciples are also of the same line. They have also taken Diksha to do the best welfare of the Supreme Lord by singing this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like once when Ramanujacharya was preaching left, right, center throughout India, Lord Ranganapa was so amazed. He called Ramanujacharya. He asked, hey, how come you are preaching so boldly everywhere? So many thousands and lacks of disciples all over India. And that concern was felt by Yamraj. Yamraj comes and he complains to Lord Ranganath, see, my department is getting close, so do something. So he calls Ramanujacharya, hey, how come you are doing such powerful preaching? He says, Lord, this is secret. So Lord Ranganath is asking, how you will reveal that secret? He says, you have to become a disciple. So he says, okay, I'll become your disciple. So now Lord Ranganath is saying, if I become your disciple, you have to give me Diksha. So Ramanujacharya says, yes, I'll give you Diksha. So Ramanujacharya calls the Supreme Lord, and in his ears, he proclaims his own name. He takes the name of the Supreme Lord himself. Then the Lord smiles and says, hey, this is my name. Then he says, yes, my Lord, this is the name that is the only means in Kali Yuga to help the living entities. But now, since you are my disciple, I have given you Mantra Diksha and you have surrendered to me, you have to make sure that whoever chants your name in Kali Yuga, you will surely, surely take care of him. And this is the same shloka where the Supreme Lord has been described in so many Diksham, Laksham, Daksham, Vaksham, Shikshakam, Moksham, Rakshakam. So many ways he is being said that he is the only one. So the first point that we want to make today here is, yes, there are many devotees whose external we may seem to know, but more than the external is the internal, just like we see in case of Dhritarashtra. So understanding the internal of the devotee is what we should be concerned with. Most of the time we judge the devotees based on his external, and there is no need to do that because the Lord is sitting there in the internal chamber of his heart. Now, second point for today's discussion is why we tend to misunderstand a devotee. Simply because we are not aware of the parameters or the factors which we should be focusing on in devotee community. We should be very well aware how to understand the greatness of any devotee. So today I'll present one example from one purport of Srila Prabhupada. This is from the first canto. We will compare the life of Bhishma Dev and Dhritarashtra. This is a very excellent purport. 8 points Srila Prabhupada is covering in this purport. We'll check how much we can discuss. But a very brilliant purport where we can easily find connection between Bhishma Dev and Dhritarashtra. just like Bhishma Dev is also most of the time misunderstood, that how can he be a devotee? But it is Srimad Bhagavatam that glorifies Bhishma Dev. Otherwise, he's portrayed as a villain because he didn't stand up for Draupadi and he fought against the Pandavas. So externally seeming he was a villain, but Bhishma Dev's heart is revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. So on one side we have Indra versus Dhritarashtra. On the other side, this is the first canto where Bhishma versus Arjun. Okay, Arjun is Indra's son. Here we have Indra and Dhritarashtra, and we'll compare them with Bhishma versus Arjun, who is none other than the son of Indra. So this is 1933. This is prayers of Bhishma Dev, famous shloka. All the devotees know. I'll just recite, and then I'll explain what Prabhupada is explaining. So I have just taken as it is and given some supporting events that are happening here in this chapter. Previous chapters. Okay. So this is 33rd shloka, 9th chapter, first canto. Tribhuvana Kamanam Tamala Varanam Ravikara Gauravaram Varam Dadhani Vakurala Kakula Avrita Anana Abjam Vijaya Sakhe Ratirastume Anavadhyaya. So he's saying Tribhuvana Kamanam. There is nobody beautiful and more desirable than you, my Lord Shri Krishna. How is the Varana of the Supreme Lord? Tamala Varanam, bluish like Tamal tree. Now, the camera is shifted to the event which Bhishma Dev is remembering. Ravi Kara. Kara is hands also, and Kara is rays also. So Ravi Kara is sun rays. Now, this is the event in the afternoon when the sun is shining brilliantly. And this is the time when that famous event we know where Lord Krishna lifts up his chariot wheel. So this is in the mid-afternoon that has taken place. And Lord Krishna has worn Gaura Varambara Dadhani. Gaura means golden colored. Varambaram means glittering. And Dadhani means his clothes. And what is happening? Already the clothes are shining because they are yellow in color. And on top of that, Ravikara, the sun god, is throwing its rays on those clothes and the entire place is shining like anything. There is huge effulgence that is coming out because already the clothes are effulgent and on top it has been highlighted by the sun rays. And how is the body of the Supreme Lord? Vapu Alaka Kula Avruta. His face is painted with sandalwood pulp. And Anana Abjam, his face is beautiful like lotus. And who is this person? Vijaya Sakhi, he is the friend of Arjuna. Why? Because the fight is between Arjuna and Bhishma. That day the fight is between Arjuna and Bhishma. And now what do you desire here? Ratir Astu Anavadya. The same thing which this shloka is highlighting. Okay, the exact same thing which this shloka is saying. Bhagavati Katham Asit Dridamati. That Dridamati here is Rati Rastu. Same point we will be discussing here. So Rati Astu means my attraction should be towards Lord Krishna, who is friend of Arjuna, Anavadyam. Anavadyam. Now see, Anavadya here, Prabhupada, just like in the shloka which we are discussing, Prabhupada has taken one meaning up and the internal, external outside, meaning in the word to word and internal in the translation. So same thing here Prabhupada does. He is saying Anavadya. Anavadya, Prabhupada is translating here as without desire for fruitive results. Okay. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is taking question answer, question answer. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, okay, Bhishmadev, what is the nature of your thought? Then Bhishmadev is answering, let me have pure prem, Rati. Which kind of Rati you want? Without desire for results. For whom? Vijaya Sakhi. For the friend of Arjuna, who is Lord Krishna. Okay. So what's so special about your Lord Vijaya Sakhe, the friend of Arjuna? He has accepted, he accepts a body which is desired to be seen by all people from upper, middle and lower planet systems. He is so beautiful that everybody desires to have one darshan of that Supreme. Okay, so what did you see in that Lord? I saw the intense yellow effulgence from his clothing, which is being highlighted due to the sunlight that is falling as he stands on the chariot of Arjuna. Okay, so now what is your desire? He's saying my desire is, let my thoughts take the form of prayers. Okay, why do you want to pray? So that I can have prem, I can have that intense love for the charioteer of Arjuna. The most beautiful Lord Krishna, whom everybody in the entire creation seems to have one darshan. So here, what is this indicative of? There are two things. Okay, success of spiritual life, two things. Attraction for the sweetness of the Lord, that is the rasa aspect. And secondly, absorption in that same rasa. This is the success parameter for any devotee. And we have to judge, not judge, judge would be a wrong word. But we have to analyze that devotee based on these two parameters. First, is attraction in the sweetness or the rasa? And second, absorption in that rasa. If these two things are happening externally, anything may be right or wrong. We are not concerned about that. Okay, now, Prabhupada's purport. Powerful line, Prabhupada writes. Okay. And Prabhupada concludes his purport by this line. This is the last line I have taken first and rest other points I have taken after this. Look, what was the question with which we started? Why we are not able to understand a devotee? Because we don't know how to understand, what to understand from. Prabhupada's line, I'll read it as it is. It should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related to the Lord. It should be carefully observed what that great general who is supposed to be villain because he is fighting from the other side. But are we focusing on which side is fighting? No. Transcendental relation of that devotee with the Lord. When we associate with the Lord, only two things are supposed to be focused. His relationship with the Supreme Lord and the transcendental relation means, is there any consideration for selfish desire? So the greatness of any devotee has to be understood by the extent to which the mood of loving service he has developed for Lord Krishna in a specific rasa. Is he able to emotionally relate with that devotee? Just like in 7th canto, we know this two famous shlokas. Narad Muni is glorifying so many people. Why? Because they have deep absorption based on specific emotion. Kama, dvesha, bhayat, snehat, yatha, bhakteshwara, manha. And that mana is filled with emotions. Aveshya, manha aveshya, tad agam hitva. And just because there is avesh of various emotion related to Krishna, tad agam hitva, the sins are completely removed. Bhavastad gatim gataha. And what? They get highest gati. And can you explain this with examples? Immediately, 7131. Gopyo kama, gopis had emotions of lust for the Supreme Lord. Bhayat kamso, the emotion which Kamsa had was bhaya, fear. Dvesha chaitya, the chaitya raj had envy, super envy. Sambandhat vrishni, vrishni had deep relation based on the vrishni vamsha. Snehad yuyam, you Pandava, you loved him. Bhaktya vayam, and the bhaktas based on their devotional service, they have obtained the mercy. Everybody obtained mercy because that emotions were gradually getting intensified and more intensified. When we see Bhishma, we only see external. Internal is more important. He had such deep emotions. On his deathbed, he is remembering all this. Can we imagine the amount of love that he has for Krishna? Second point, Prabhupada mentioned. When Shri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on the earth, he does so by the agents of internal potency. So when Krishna appears before any devotee, there are two things. Appearing of Krishna and understanding of Krishna, both are two different things. Only when the internal energy will favor can we understand Krishna. Otherwise, based on the previous Sukruti, we can only see Krishna. The very fact that Bhishma is able to understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a clear-cut indication that he is a devotee who is in the internal energy of Lord Krishna. Bhishma was able to understand because the internal energy has favored him. Okay, so Krishna consciousness is not about seeing Krishna, but it is about developing a particular rasa, a particular emotion by which the jiva can serve Krishna for all time to come. Krishna consciousness is nothing but shifting from false ego to the true ego. Development of the true ego is called Krishna consciousness. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's definition. Is my false ego getting shifted? The amount of shifting of false ego is equal to moving towards the real ego. Kauravas saw Krishna, but they couldn't understand Krishna. They couldn't develop that emotion. The internal energy will help the jiva develop emotions for Krishna. The internal energy didn't favor them. Similarly, Dhritarasura was favored by the internal energy. That is why even on the war field, he was able to think about Krishna. Indra was not. The Lord personally came for him. Still, he was not able to develop any emotions for the Supreme Lord. Third point. Prabhupada says, Arjuna is described here as conqueror. Why? Arjuna was always conqueror because Lord was his friend. Krishna is here described as his intimate friend. Yes. Externally seeming Krishna favored Arjuna, but internally seeing Krishna's favor was more towards Bhishma. Externally, Arjuna won the war. Internally, Bhishma won the war. During the war, Krishna was continuously facing Bhishma. Bhishma could see the beautiful face of the Supreme Lord. Where did Arjuna see? When morning war used to stay, evening they used to see. Pandava's living body, did the Supreme Lord come? No. He left without telling. Bhishma personally, Lord is coming. Same thing. For Vritrasur, Lord was constantly in on his mind. Lord was allowing him to focus on his returning back to him. that desire to return, that intense desire to get out of this material mire is the gift of Lord Krishna. To keep that flame of desire burning, that yes, I have to get out of this, is gift of Krishna, which Vritrasura got, Indra didn't get. In 11th chapter, 21 and 22nd shloka, Vritrasura is assuring Indra, Arey Baba, don't worry, the Supreme Lord has favored you. Your success is guaranteed. Indra is asking him, what will you attain? Are you focus on yourself? He's asking, what will you attain? Vritrasura is saying, I will attain the planets of Narad Muni, as told by Lord Sankarsana. Now Indra is doubtful. Now Indra is asking, will he also give you heavenly planets? Vritrasura is saying no. 22nd shloka is saying no. Indra is asking why? Because he says such opulence causes hate, pride, agitation, anxiety, quarrel, calamity and unnecessary hard labor for that sadhaka. And hence the Supreme Lord doesn't give such opulence which will take the sadhaka away from the Supreme Lord. So in Indra versus Vritrasura, Krishna has favored Vritrasura more. And who is Indra? He is the chief demigod. Fourth point. Bhishmadev on his bed of arrows. After the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he is remembering the particular dress of Krishna. What dress? How it was shining. And he is on the chariot of Arjuna. Same thing. Vritrasura is also remembering the Lord on the battlefield. The four seed verses 6, 11, 24, 25, 26, 27. Such deep feelings of separation, that deep burning. Ajatapaksha, Ivamataram Khaga. Three examples. Intense separation, describing the gradation of separation. Vano Arvindaksha, Didrikshat, Tetva. When will I see Supreme Lord? Bhishma had that intense separation. When will my Lord come? When will my Lord come? Vritrasura had that. Fifth point, Prabhupada thing. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma was attracted to the appearance of the Supreme Lord. Along with that, he was continuously admiring Arjuna. Lord is his friend, you know. Admiring is what? He's showing respect, he's showing approval, he's showing appreciation to Arjuna. Yes, great. You have the Supreme Lord with you. Fight. Same mindset, Vritrasura. He's admiring Indra. Hey, Baba, you have that personal weapon. The Lord personally came. He personally told Dadichi Rishi, give that bones. That Astra is made from the most powerful bones. It is enough, infallible. It is Narayan Kavaj that you have. Why are you worrying? Lord has favored you so much. Admiration, even in that difficult situation. Even Bhishma is also admiring Arjuna. And Vritrasura is admiring Indra. Oh, the Lord has favored you so much. Why do you worry? The Lord is with you. Bhishmadev, sixth point, Bhishmadev takes this opportunity to address the Lord as Vijay Sakhe, friend of Arjuna, because the Lord likes to be connected to his devotees. When the Lord is sung, Yashoda Nandan, Devaki Nandan, he likes because that is seen in connection. Exact same thing Vritrasura does. Aham Hare Ertava Padayika Moolam, Dasanu Daso. Oh, when will I be seen in connection to your devotees? What is his desire? See me in connection, not to Krishna, with the devotees. Das, Anu, Das. Bhavitas vi bhuya. Let me be seen in connection with the devotees. I am not concerned about Krishna. For me, concern is devotees, because where there are devotees, Krishna will come automatically. We don't have to do anything. It is byproduct. Read 9.1 and 9.2 Bhagavad Gita, what Prabhupada is writing. Krishna appears only in the association of devotees. Nowhere else Krishna appears. And that is why hearing Krishna Katha is so important. Seventh point. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, a beautiful hue, a reflection of such great strength was created. And Bhishmadev could remember that. See, at the final point is remembering the fond memory that he had with Shri Krishna. Similarly, we also have to collect fond memories where we could feel reciprocated with Krishna. It may be small, it may be petty, doesn't matter. It is my connection with Krishna. Just like one Mataji, she has her laundry shop here. And it's a good business she does. But she had no person who could help her. And that person left all of a sudden. And that Mataji, every day she comes for Mangalarti. And in between, for quite some time, she was not able to attend Mangalati. She was so disturbed. She couldn't chant in association. So she was continuously praying to Madan Gopalji that please help somebody, get me somebody so that I can attend morning program. And she couldn't get anybody. One day, finally, she came in the temple afternoon time, and she had intense fight with Madan Gopalji. She's saying this, she's revealing her heart. Intense fight. She said, you better give somebody, otherwise I'll stop coming. This is what that Mataji is saying. And she went home. You won't believe, next day, early morning, 7 o'clock, a lady comes at her house and she's saying that I'm searching for job from long time. I haven't got any job. And I have experience of laundry, cleaning the laundry and ironing the laundry. So do you have some work? She came. And after 15 days of watching her, she did best work. She said she was so happy, so satisfied. She came on 15 days. And from that day, the lady has come. She has started attending morning program because she gave her, because I want to attend this, so you help me. So what is the point? Is that devotee connected to Krishna? That fond memories, now this will become a memory for that Mataji. Lifelong memory. She can't forget. Bhishmadev is remembering. Vritrasur is also remembering. Why? We have to have these memories because these memories help us remove the unnecessary baggage. Vritrasur is neglecting what has happened till date, the curse, the cutting of hand, the people shouting, sages cursing. He's ready to keep everything aside to make space for the fond memory so that I can connect back to Krishna. And last point, Prabhupada writes, Rati Astu, may my attraction be reposed upon whom? Lord Krishna. Anavadya. Anavadya, now Prabhupada is writing here, without desire for fruitive result. What it means to be reposed upon Krishna? Repose means to stop, cessation of any activity, absence of any activity, to give it a rest, to keep it at halt. Bhishmadev had done so much service for Lord Krishna. Anavadya, he didn't expect anything. He was just praying, my dear Lord, let me have one darshan. Anavadya is without desire for that fruitive result. Let my attraction be reposed. He has served every single day without fail, non-stop for so long. Now repose means what? He's saying, my dear Lord, let all this material activities stop. Let there be cessation so that I can focus all my attraction on you. Externally seeming, Bhishma looks like some ordinary person. But when we read Prabhupada's purport, we can find out Bhishma is no ordinary person. Externally, he can't be judged. So the point here is, transcendental relationship with the Lord or in any one of the different rasas is relished by respective devotees to the highest ecstasy. Here is in Vira Ras. Now, Vira Ras is nowhere in the spiritual world, but here it helps me connect with the Supreme Lord. And he's relishing that Vira Ras to the best of the extent. His mind and heart is filled with emotions for Krishna. Okay? So, this is the success that we all would like to achieve. So, this is the basic comparison between both the devotees. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam. Wonderful class. Wonderful.
Hare Krishna.
Many points about the emotions, about having memories of Krishna, how it can manifest in our heart. I have a few questions I'll ask later, but do you have a time for questions?
I have only 2 minutes. I have
if devotees have any questions. I do see Tiffany Mataji raising her hand. Hare Krishna Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories
Hare
to Srila
Krishna.
Prabhupada. I don't have a question. I actually have to leave, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for such a gorgeous class. I'm so grateful that you're coming back and giving class for us more frequently again. We missed your association so much. Your classes are always so inspiring and powerful. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you, thank you, thank you for your service. Hare Bol.
I also heard the class of Her Grace Lalita Mataji and Bimantu, the interview that was taken by Bhaktisana. Very pretty. Vodapka, very nicely explaining the mood and service to Srila Prabhupada. So nice.
Yes, they are beautiful devotees.
Yes.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tiffany Mataji. Devotees, if you have any questions, please go ahead quickly. Prabhuji has only 2 minutes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. That was really a very wonderful comparison between Bhishma Dev and Dhritarashtra. In all perspective, we had covered so nicely. Thank you so much for that understanding to make us to understand about this connection between both of them. And Prabhuji, initially you were saying that some three categories of getting the relationship with the Lord, right? So the sins are partially gone, then Sattvaguna and Tamaguna is reduced, and one more thing is the first one.
Yeah, in regards to that shloka?
Yeah, first one you said something, Prabhuji, I just didn't note it.
Yes, I'll repeat that for you. So that is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Where he is giving the flow of how it takes place. Okay, so first is Punya Karma. Who is qualified for Bhakti? Punya Karma, sins are partially destroyed. And then third is predominance of Sattva Guna, which is followed by reduction with Tamo Guna.
Okay, thank you, Prabhupada. Thank you so much.
Okay, Mataji, we'll stop here.
Yes, thank you, Prabhuji.
Please forgive me. I have some guests waiting for
you. You always come. So we very forward to your association again and enlightening us again on the class session. Thank you very much. And now, devotee, let us pay our ways.
सुकुमार गौर प्रभु जी की
जय
एकादशी तू है।